Welcome to Question and Answer Time. We have a question from South Carolina. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul refers to others which have no hope. If Paul was teaching the salvation of all, who would he be referring to as having no hope? In this passage of Scripture, it's obvious he is referring to the resurrection hope. So these others would not have any hope of resurrection. But how could this be if all were to be eventually saved? Good question. Let's start by getting a definition of the word hope. In this passage, others which have no hope. The Greek word, which you can look up in Strong's Greek Lexicon, number 1680. According to Strong's, it means expectation or confidence. Interestingly enough, it's also identified with the word faith and is so translated in the King James Version in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. We all have neighbors who live around us who are lost. They have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result, they have no hope beyond the grave, no resurrection hope, as was in our question. They believe that the grave is, or may be, the end. But just believing that it's the end doesn't make it so. Just because they personally have no hope does not mean that there is not any hope for them beyond the grave. It simply means that they personally have not the confident expectation or hope that we do. Even those who are already saved can be taught incorrectly and thus be without the hope of resurrection. This, of course, was the case with some of the believers in Corinth. Paul had to write to them about the resurrection truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here we have believers who had no resurrection hope. Obviously, this didn't mean that they wouldn't be raised, that they were hopeless beyond the grave. Hope, as with faith, is a very personal thing. Just because one does not believe in the resurrection doesn't mean that the resurrection doesn't exist or that they won't experience it. It just means that they personally have no confident expectation, no hope of it. And why don't they? Well, they don't have hope because they've not yet been given faith at this time to believe it. Since hope and faith are both King James Version translations of this Greek word, our verse in question could simply read, others which have no faith. The reason that they don't have any hope is because they don't have any faith. Believers who have faith and hope in God's promise of resurrection are saved from the hopelessness of the grave. Therefore, we don't sorrow the same as others do who don't have any hope. Of course, that's the context of the passage. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." And as the one asking the question wrote, they have no hope in resurrection. Just because someone has no hope or faith does not mean that they're excluded from this future event. Neither does it mean that the thing that is believed or hoped doesn't exist and that it will not come to pass for them. Hope is a divine quality, and it's produced in stages. I have more hope now than when I first believed. Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about this. Tribulation works patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What a wonderful verse. We see that faith or hope is a process, this expectation. We have to learn this expectation from God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Starting with tribulation, Paul says, and then through experience, finally hope comes and is produced in our hearts and lives. This divine process has not yet been fully developed, even in us, let alone the lost. God is not now working with the full harvest. He's working with the first fruit. The full harvest has no personal hope within their heart at this time. But not to worry, for the end result is not about man at all, but it's about God himself, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. The simple fact is that God has subjected the entire creation to hope, and it shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, whether or not they apprehend it by faith or hope now. Listen to Paul when he writes in Romans chapter 8. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The same creature that was made subject to vanity is the exact same creature that shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is why Paul refers to the whole creation. And then he says, of us, the first fruits of the Spirit. This is the subjection of divine hope upon all of creation. The same all men who are condemned in Adam are the exact same all men who will be justified in Christ. The exact same all men who die in Adam are the exact same all men will one day be made alive in Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So currently, when it comes to death, there are those who sorrow because they don't have any personal hope in their heart of life beyond the grave. But it's not because they're hopeless, because God will bring all his creation to himself one day, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, I hope that's been helpful. If you have a Bible question you'd like to ask, you can send it to me at Clyde@studyshelf.com. Personal questions, of course, will never be dealt with in a public format such as this, but if you have a basic question of Scripture that maybe have helped others, you might hear it here on our question and answer segment.